Let us pray. O Lord, in the stillness of this moment, as we rest our souls in your hands, grant to us an inspiration of our hearts and minds such that we are acutely aware of your love and presence. Grant that what is said and heard meets with your approval, and that we take what we know to be your will and let you work in our lives as you will. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look in the back of a dictionary, you will see a variety of conversion charts. Conversion, in one sense, means translating one measure to another measure. For instance, Fahrenheit to Celsius. Different scales describing the same thing. Conversion like that basically leaves things unchanged. It's just the way we name and look at it. However, conversion more often means going from one sort of being, one state of existence, and moving, being changed to another type or state of existence. Conversion. Converting from one to another. And today's passage about Saul, or Paul as we later come to know him, is often pointed to as one of the ultimate conversion stories and experiences. But the way legend has it, and the way legend adorns the facts and the word, sometimes distract us from what is really going on in the story. Now, no doubt, Paul was brought up short. He saw a bright light, and that was the last thing he saw. He was having an experience that was none too pleasant. They say in the legend that he was thrown from his horse, but you will find no such thing in Scripture. He merely fell to the ground. We assume, for whatever reason, that he was riding a horse. But he was not, by Scripture. He merely was tossed, thrown, plummeted to the ground. Now, we need to understand as well that Paul's appearance on this road to Damascus just didn't happen in a vacuum. Earlier in the book of Acts, we are told that Saul was persecuting the church. And the whole story of the book of Acts is one of persistent witness of the disciples to the gospel, to the good news that Jesus Christ is raised again. And we hear the stories about Peter and the disciples sharing that. And then we hear this story about this conflict, this opposition that is in a way pinpointed and personalized in Paul. And then in chapter 7 we hear about Stephen and his witness. And in chapter 8 we hear about how the people in another city are learning about Jesus and are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then we learn about Philip going to the eunuch that is riding in the carriage, and he's reading the book of Isaiah and he's converted. There's all these conversions going on as the power of God seeps into and breaks through despite the opposition of Paul, and begins to spread into other cities, into people who are not necessarily a native of Jerusalem. Paul is passionate in his disgust and his hatred for this new way. He is disgusted with what he sees, and he's bound to keep the true faith pure. And he does what he can in Jerusalem, and he seeks to spread it to Damascus. It's important that we take a pause and see what's going on in this overall way in order to understand then what becomes of Paul and the person who worked with him, Ananias. The purposes of God in sending Jesus was not that we should be comforted as we are, but that we should be comforted as what we can become and find a true joy, a true peace, a true life in God. God did not come to leave us unconverted. God came in Jesus that conversion would take place. Conversion needs to take place, as it is shown in the scripture, in three ways. One, conversion needs to occur within the heart and mind and life of each individual disciple. That means that our hearts and our minds and our lives must be substantially different than they were before, or else it is not a conversion. It is merely renaming the same old thing. But it's not just about each of our personal conversions, our personal story with God. It is also a story about how God converts human relationships, how God seeks to bind us each, converted souls, if you will, into converted relationships. And you can see in our own lives and in the lives of people around us how desperate this conversion is needed. To live with forgiveness, patience, to have the kind of understanding and endurance that chooses not to harm, that chooses to do the right thing, that seeks God's way. Oh my goodness, what would happen in the lives of men and women who are married if they were converted, not just in name, but in truth. Mayhaps divorce would be less frequent. Oh my goodness, what would happen in the lives of teens who understood that violence was no way and promiscuity no love, but sought to grow and respect life and respect persons, to forgive and to live at peace. Conversion of relationships is necessary. But it doesn't stop there even. And Jesus makes this ever so clear with what he says to Paul. I want you to be my servant to convert the rest of the world, the Gentiles. And Jesus has said it before. He has sent the disciples into the world, to the ends of the earth, to witness to his love, his death and resurrection, his coming again. So often we are so content to take our salvation, seal it into an envelope, lock ourselves behind the closed doors of the church, and say, when we all get to heaven, what a glorious time it will be. But that is not what Scripture says is the task and the purpose of our lives or the church. It is to convert and be a part of the conversion of the whole world. And when we focus so much on Paul and the 2x4 that Jesus hit that stubborn man with, and we say, well, we've got to be hit by a 2x4 too before we're going to change, we are misinterpreting the story. Because Paul's conversion did not happen when he got hit. Paul's conversion happened only with the conversion of Ananias and his attitude. You know Ananias, delightful man. Apparently he was ignored by so many. Going about his business in Damascus, he had made a choice to follow Jesus. He was one of the way, and all of a sudden he's just going about his business, and the Lord comes to him in a vision and says, Ananias, I want you to go see this Saul of Tarsus. The equivalent would be if Jesus put a vision into our head and asked us to go see Osama bin Laden or Fidel Castro or any other number of tyrants, hate mongers, powerful and evil influences. Ananias was not so certain he wanted to do this. And with an understated response, he says, but this guy is crazy. He's evil. He's out to kill us. And Jesus responds, but he will be my servant. As Ananias faced his fear and stepped out of his comfort zone, he became the instrument of conversion for Paul. And he went to see the man who had been knocked off his feet and who had been prepared and readied for Ananias's visit. And not only was Ananias and Paul converted, what they were before they no longer were, but so was their relationship. And as the story of Acts continues, the gospel of Jesus Christ spread to the known ends of the earth. One of the things that we might notice in our life, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, and in our world is that there is a distinct distaste and discomfort with the idea of conversion. If we talk about it at all, we talk about it at a personal level. And we leave it there. But I would suggest to you that if we are going to be scriptural Christians, biblically based disciples, conversion must become not just the fact that we change from unbeliever to believer, but that believers allow their relationships to so evidence the love of God through forgiveness, peace, and patience. And in so doing, their relationships become the springboard for a mission to the world, both seeking to alleviate suffering of physical needs and dispensing the invitation to spiritual health and wholeness in the gospel of Jesus Christ. When this becomes our passion, when this becomes our core, then indeed we will have a deeper, richer experience of God's love and presence. It is interesting to note that Paul was able to so fume and so hate and so clearly commit himself to his task of cleaning up the faith, that all Jesus needed to do was knock him to the ground and put that energy, that passion, and that intensity, that articulate man, that educated man, on a different course with a different purpose. It seems to me that if we're going to be passionate and put our energy anywhere, it ought to be where Jesus has shown us it should be, in a passion for conversion, for souls redeemed, souls united, and souls in service to Jesus Christ the King. Let us pray. O Lord, we are in many ways already clean by the word you have spoken to us. We have experienced conversion in so many ways, but we are like Ananias, who really is our model. We are afraid to be that passionate, afraid to be that committed, afraid to go across that boundary, afraid to challenge and to be in conflict for you. O Lord, convert not only our souls within us, but convert our community of faith so that we are souls united with the purpose of serving you, our King. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.